Happy New Year, everybody. I heard fireworks. I went to bed late, about 2-something, and I heard fireworks all into the night. They don't stop at midnight. They keep right on firing everything they've got. One time we were doing fireworks in Virginia, and I remember we were driving through the mountain, and we had a big old pack of them, and we would light them, and then we'd throw the big packs out the window. I remember one time we were in a truck, and we threw them out the window, and it hit the windowsill, bounced back in the truck. When I was in college, I went to Virginia Tech, and one time some people came. We had these, you ever heard this thing called M80s? You remember what M80s are? They taped a big string of M80s to our dorm room door. And have you ever heard M80s go off when you're inside one of those old cinder block rooms? And then to top it off, they took a can of lighter fluid, put it under our door, smashed it, and then lit it. That'll set you on fire. Come on, somebody. I don't know why I'm telling you all that. It's just stories of my life that I've had. All right, everybody stand up this morning. We're going to have communion. You've noticed the tables out and around the auditorium. And we're doing it because we're going to do it a little bit different today. I'll just say it that. Get ready. Look at somebody, say, we're doing communion different today. Would you say it, somebody? I don't know. I don't think you've ever done communion like we're going to do it today. So you'll see in just a minute. In the book of Exodus, it says this. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. And so what it was, it was on into the year. And God says, now I'm going to make this a new year for you. I'm going to make this part of your year. It's going to be a new beginning. How many know God can do a new beginning in your life, no matter where you are? You can be 50 years old or 20 years old or 15 years old or 85 years old. And God can still do a new beginning in your life. It's never too late. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. And God can begin something brand new in your life. I don't care how messed up your life is. I don't care what's going down in your life. God can do something new in your life. We were counseling last night, late into the night, with somebody from out of state and somebody we knew years ago. And one of the keys I knew is it doesn't matter how you start. It's how you end up, how you finish. And God said to Moses, I'm going to make this month your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb. Now notice this. The beginning of the year was the Passover. That's what we call the Passover, which Jesus linked to the Lord's Supper. The night that he ate the Passover with his disciples, the Bible says he instituted along with that something we call the Lord's Supper. And here is the beginning of that ceremony that they had in that feast. It says, speak to all the congregation on the 10th of the month. Every man shall take for himself a lamb. This is at the beginning. This is a new month, a new beginning. Take a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it till the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood, put it on the two doorposts, on the lintel of the houses they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on the night they roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. All right? So literally, now look at verse 11. Thus shall you eat it. Now watch this. Thus shall you eat it. And we kind of see them, we sometimes think they're reclining at the table. They're, you know, sitting down, which they didn't have tables in, but let's just pretend. They were eating, they were sitting at the table, they were eating, relaxing. The Bible doesn't say that's how they took their first Passover meal. The way they took their first Passover meal was this way. Thus shall you eat it. Not sitting at a table, not laying on the floor reclining, relaxed attitude. Here is how you are to eat the Passover. It's not a gathering where you're going to have friends over and family over and just talk about good old times. Here's how you're going to eat your first Passover. With a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, so shall you eat it in haste. Everybody say haste. So shall you eat it in haste. For it is the Lord's Passover. And so what they did was, when they ate that first Passover, it wasn't some relaxed dinner they were eating. The Bible says they ate it in haste. They ate it with their belts on, their sandals on their feet, their staff in their hands, and they're eating that thing in haste. You know why? Because it's time to go. Come on, somebody. So this morning I want to talk to you about it's time to, everybody say it's time to go. Father, we love you today. We ask that you would take the Logos, make it rhema, bring it real to our hearts. Stir us for the new year we're facing. We love you with all our hearts. Everybody said a good amen. 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 Look at somebody say it's time to go. Would you say that? Thank you. In Numbers 33, it tells about the obedience to what we just read of the command. And it says, these are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now, Moses, God said, tell them to eat the Passover fast, in haste. Tell them to get their staff in their hands, get their shoes on their feet, and get their belts on and their loins girded. And so Moses wrote down the start, everybody say starting points, of their journey at the command of the Lord. And these are the journeys according to their starting points. They departed from Ramses in the first month, that's in Egypt. And the 15th day of the month, on the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness. Everybody say boldness. When God said go, they didn't just whimper around. They went out with boldness. When God said, get your staff in your hand, get your sandals on your feet, the Bible says Moses then began to write their starting points and their journeyings and said, and they went out with boldness while the Egyptians, in the sight of all the Egyptians, for the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn. Let me tell you, while they were boldly going out, the enemy was having funerals. Come on, somebody. They were mourning, they were crying, they were brokenhearted, but the people of God was on the move. They were going somewhere. They had their sandals on. They had their staffs in their hands. They were moving because when they ate it, there wasn't some lounging around. They ate it with haste. They ate it with fast. They ate it knowing we're going somewhere. The Bible says Moses wrote down all of their goings, all their goings, because, and let me read it. So this is a word for this year. These are their journeys. And if you read the whole chapter, you'd see they went from one city to the next city, to the next city, to the next area, to the next area. It says, and they went here and then they camped for a while. And then when the cloud moved, they got up, they left, they went again. And when they camped for a while, they waited till the cloud moved, they went again. They camped for a while, the cloud moved, they went again. They always were going. As long as we're on this earth, we never reach the end. God's always got a new place for us to go. And you've got to get ready because you've got to be ready and stay ready. All they kept doing was journeying and camping and journeying and going and camping and going and camping. My point is this. Many times we want to know where God is going to take us before we are willing to go on our journey. Many times we want to know where God is taking us before we go on our journey. And we want to know what we're coming into before we come out of what we're into. Let me tell you, sometimes God never tells us where we're going until we get there. Come on, somebody. We have no idea where we're going until we get there. Now, I love vacations like that. We used to book our tickets to Europe. And I said, no, Jasmine, we don't want to book anything. That's no fun. Who wants to book your whole vacation? Let's just go to Europe for 2 weeks. And what comes, Kim, whatever comes, let it come. Come on, somebody. And we went one time. We flew over there. And I said, okay, check, let's go out. We were in a little city in Switzerland. I said, see how much the hotel room is for a night. $450. Come on, somebody. Come on. But sometimes we want to know where we're going and where we're going to end up. And many times God will not tell you. He'll not let you. All you know is the cloud is moving. I've got to go with the cloud. I've got to eat that Passover in haste, a staff in my hand, sandals on my feet. Then where are we going? We're going to, and you got to realize this. You're not looking at our arrival. Nobody in here has arrived. We're all still journeying. We're still going. We're still packing up and taking off. We're still, when the cloud moves, we need to go. Don't think you've made it. You settled. I'm going to tell you, you need to understand that you're not looking at our end. You're looking at our journey. Tell somebody, you're not looking at my arrival. You're simply looking at my journey, my going. Come on, somebody. See, you haven't arrived yet. And most of your people around you know you haven't arrived yet. Right? You know, this morning you were driving here. You know what it would take. That little thing that started to fight this morning before you got in the car. Some of you sitting beside each other, you're mad as hornets right now. I mean, you're just as mad as a hornet. All right, let's get off of that. We'll go right on. We don't know exactly where God's going to take us, but I know one thing. I'm not going back where I've been. Every destiny must have a starting point. Every destiny. Bible says Moses wrote down their starting points. You know the old Proverbs, it takes a trip of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. A starting point, you've got to get off of dead center and go somewhere. When God begins to speak to you, you need to go. Here's an awesome revelation. Listen to this. If you never leave where you are, you're going to end up, come on, where you are. If you never leave where you are, you know your destination is where you are. And you're never going to go to another level. You're never going to grow. You never let go of the past. You're never going to have a future. But if you never go through transitions, your past is your future. You'll relive it. You're there. Some people have never let go of some things. And so their past is their future. You know this. You've been around some people. All they ever talk about is the good old days. Let me tell you, the good old days were not so good. I was there. We went back to see our house one time in Tennessee, and I remember, you know, how big the house was when your memories, and you go back, and how did we all fit in that thing? And then we went back the next year, and it was gone. Come on, it was gone. They had tore the thing down. So your memories and some of the things, but if you never leave where you are, that is your future. Some people are never willing to travel, so they stay. Their past is really their future, and since they never leave, their past can never arrive. Let me give you an illustration. When I'm at my house, one of the conflicts Jazz and I have is because when I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. You understand what I'm saying? There's a difference between men and women. Did you know that? Because in the morning I can get up, I say, Jazz, what are you doing today? Well, I'm going to the store. And I'd leave for an hour, come back, and guess what? She's still there. I said, I thought you were going to the store. I'm going. And so it's not invalid things she's doing. She does very valid things before she goes. But let me just say about me. When I don't announce my going until I'm going. Come on, somebody. Because when I say I'm going, the next thing you hear is the door slamming. I'm gone. And the worst thing you know, she and I do, is I'm going out the door and she wants to tell me something. Anybody with me on that? I'm going out the door and she wants to tell. I've already announced my going. I'm gone. All right, we need marriage counseling. So we'll leave that right there. We'll go on. But we're going. So what do you mean? Say, when I'm ready to go, next thing you hear is the door. What does that mean? Here's what it means. I've met people in the church that every year, where are you going? I'm going, God's taking me to a new level. Next year, where are you going? God's taking me, never gone anywhere, still at the same place they were last year and the year before and the year before that. And they're always announcing they're going, but they never go. Can I get a better amen and just... You we're going to the next level. And a year later, they're going to the next level. It's time for somebody to say, I'm going. You need to get the spirit of George Jefferson on you. I'm moving on up. Come on, somebody. You know that spirit of Jed Clampett? Can folks say, Jed, move away from here. It's time to go. Everybody say it's time to go, would you? It's time to go. It's time to leave. You know, I like, you just got to decide. You lived your last day among fools. I've learned one thing. I'll talk to you a little bit, but there's an ability of people around you to drag you down. There are such things as fools. Jesus said there were. And how will I describe a fool to you? Let me think. Well, let me just say this. I believe in Baton Rouge they have a fool factory. I think it's out on airline somewhere. I'm not sure exactly where it's at. But they just produce fools and they let them loose on our city. And if you're not careful, that you're going to get caught up with fools around you that drag you down and keep you from moving on up to the next level in God. I think you ought to pack up your bags and move on to the heavenlies. Come on, somebody. You ought to learn, because you need to learn in your life there are people around that you need to watch. And I'll talk about that in just a second. Matthew 24 says this. Here's another problem that we have with thing says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, and that's a whole story about, you know, let him who reads understands, then let those who are in Judea, now watch it, we're talking about going. We're talking about what happens to us about when we're going. So let them who are in Judea go, flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything. Notice this. Don't let he that is on the housetop, when God says go, don't even get off. If you're up on the housetop, which is, they weren't fixing the roof, it's where they lived. They stayed on housetops and all this and that. But when you're on the housetop, you might be in the afternoon, it may be a cool part, you're up there. He said, when the word comes to go, don't you even go down in your house and get stuff out of your house. He said, don't take anything out of his house. Just go. Let him, he who is in the field, not go back to get his clothes. Now, do you get that? When God says go, if you try to go back and collect all the stuff from your previous level to go with God to the next level, you're going to miss what God is doing. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's see if I can illustrate it this way. Let's say the Lord said to go, and you're out up here, you know, whatever it is, wherever you are going, and God says, flee or go. You cannot take everything with you from a previous level. And God says, go on to the next level. Can you imagine you go back to your house? You come down from the rooftop. You go in your house. You come out of the field. And suddenly God said, go. And here you are. You're getting everything together to go somewhere. And God said, okay, God, I'm ready to go. Okay, God, I'm almost ready. And God, and you come out the door with this. And God said, this is heavy. I'm putting this down. It's enough of this. God says, when you are ready to go, you cannot take everything you had from a previous level to the next level with you. You know, instead of looking like George Jefferson, now you're looking like Fred Sanford. I know you don't know who Fred Sanford was. Now you're looking like Fred Sanford. You're in your old pickup truck with lazy Lamont, you know, your son Lamont up in the back. You got it loaded down with junk, and you think you're heading toward the next level. There he is. You remember him? Now I'm tired. I can't breathe. I should have went to bed earlier last night. So what God says is, God says, I've got something new for you. I got something. And you say, okay, God, I'm ready for it. And God said, where am I going to put it? You got so much stuff you've taken with you that you're loaded down with stuff. And the Bible says, when God says to go, listen, leave your old stuff. Don't go back to the house. Leave it there. Not only can you not take stuff, but there are people, now here's a word for you for this year. There are people in your life you've got to learn to deal with. There are people in your life you've got to love them and help them, but you can't have them up in your camp with you. There are people that you can't have rubbing elbows with where they have literally become to influence you. In Numbers chapter 5, There's a scripture here, and I want to read this to you. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying this. Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp. Everybody say, put out of the camp. This is on their journeyings. This is why they're going to journey. And he says, but here's what I want. You don't kill them. You don't mistreat them. You love them. You help them. But you just don't have them up in your camp with you. It's not that you don't reach out. It doesn't mean that you extra. It just means you just don't have them up living with you. They're not influencing you. They're not day to day with you to where you pick up their mindset. They don't infect you. They don't rub off on you. You're still reaching out. You're still doing it, but you put them out of your camp. If you're going to give your goings, if you're going to keep going for God, you're going to have to put some things out of your camp for the coming year. And here's what he said. He said, they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who had a discharge, or I like the way the old King James says, everyone that had an issue. Everybody say issue. Everybody that had an issue, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse or a dead person. Number one was lepers. And lepers are always, you know, leprosy was always a picture of sin. And we're to love the sinner. We're to reach out to them. But listen, bad company still corrupts good morals. And if you're living with, and if you stay around them long enough, you ought to take a long look at the lepers around you. Because if they're up in your camp, look at them real good, because that's you in just a little while. We dealt with somebody last night. We know the reason. They got in with some bad company and person you never think in your life going downhill because they got influenced by some bad people. Somebody at work. Yeah, let me tell you why. When you're at work and you got somebody that's been divorced about 29 times and she's got tattoos up and down her arms and she looks at you and she says, "I wouldn't let a man do anything like that to me." That's why she ain't got no man. Come on, somebody. That's why she ain't going to have no man. And you don't get counsel from the world. Listen, Oprah may be right twice a day, but so is a clock that's broken. Come on, somebody. I'll leave that one right there. Put them outside the camp. You love them, you still minister them. But if you hang around them long enough, they're going to be, that's you. If you hang around them long enough, that's you. Look at them real good, because that's what you're going to look like in a little while. Because bad company still corrupts good morals. Leprosy is not something you play around with. It's infectious. The second one was issues. I like the way the old King James says it there in Numbers. It says 5 and 2. Everyone that had a discharge, but an issue in the old King James, everybody's got an issue. You put them out of your camp. You don't not love them. You don't you still minister to them. You just don't have them up in your camp with you. You know what it is? You can go to church and you can love God and worship God and just say, "What? Oh, Lord, I love you. I just felt the presence of the Lord this morning." And you walk out the door and somebody says, did you hear that music? Do you believe that this morning? What? Everybody say issue. An issue is a running sore. You know, let me just say, an issue is a run. It's somebody, it's a woman spent all her life saving, trying to get some man to solve her issue problem. You know, the woman with the issue of blood. And Moses said, people with running sores, those that always have issues, he said, put them outside your camp. Do you know anybody that's always got an issue? Always got an issue. Always has an issue. You know what? This week it's political. Next week it's spiritual. Next week it's social. Next week it's, you name it. They always have an issue. And if you don't think that will not infect you and keep you from moving on with God, you better what? You better put them outside your camp. You know what? You know what in my house? Never one time has the garbage truck come to my house, backed up, hit the dump lever, and dumped all their garbage on my yard. Not one time. You know why? Because I'm not a garbage dump. And until you're ready to stop somebody from dumping into your life. I don't know why people always come to me. They just always come to me and tell me all this stuff. Because you're a garbage dump.
Can I get a better amen this morning?
I'll leave that right there. Oozing. Running sores. Something that wounds them and they won't stop oozing about it. Well, you know what they did to me 22 years. You know what they did to me? I remember. You know what they did to me? You know, oh, you're still oozing about that? Step right over there. Stand right over. I love you, but you're not going to be in my camp. You're not going to be with, you know, what did your wife do to you? I'll tell you what my wife, I heard a story about another wife and she did da 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 and they did da 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 and they did da 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 and suddenly it infects you. You start doubting your wife. You start doubting your husband. You start, and listen, you look at them a long time. Because if you keep people with issues in your life, look at them real good. Because that's you in just a little while. Learn real fast that issues aren't anything about you. Issues many times with people are their own dysfunction of their life. And you happen to be the one they can take it out on.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you again.
All right, number three. Third group you need to get out of your life for the coming year is those that have been defiled by a corpse. That is, defiled by the dead. How shall I say this? Unclean by the dead. How shall I define the dead? The dead praise not the Lord, Psalm says. Jesus said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead. When he spoke to Lazarus, he that was dead came forth. And at least Lazarus had enough sense to get out from among the dead people. If you're going to move with God, you cannot live among dead people. Who's dead people? People that don't praise God. People that aren't living. People that have no life about them. People that are just existing and staying there. Lazarus had enough sense. He was bound hand and foot. Lazarus was not made to come out. God did not say, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, some magnet did not draw him up and make him. He had to choose. Listen, he was laying down on that stone slab, dead as a doornail, living among the dead people. Let me see how I can do this. He was laying among the dead people, dead as a doornail. When the word came, Lazarus, come forth. He had to make a conscious decision. I'm leaving the dead people. I'm going out among the live people. And what he did is this. The Bible says he was bound hand and foot. And so he couldn't just, he was bound. And he, you know, it takes a while to get up when you're bound head and foot. And he scooted a little bit to the edge like this. And he got up. And at least he got, and the Bible says he started hopping out among the dead people. You know why he thought? He said, I got a better chance getting free among living people than I do among dead people. Come on, somebody. When Jesus says, loose him and let him go free, the dead people are going to loose him. You're not going to get free staying among dead people. You're going to stay bound. You're going to stay lifeless. You're going to stay all bound up. I'm running out of steam here. I'm tired. You come up out of your grave. Listen, when Jesus speaks a word like this year, everybody say, I got to go. Come on, somebody say, I got to go. He's not going to make you get up out of your graves. He's not going to make you get away from dead people. But I'm going to tell you, if you want a new thing in your life for this year, you got to get away from the dead people. Listen, if not, you ought to invite every person who's got leprosy. Get out the Tupperware. Invite all the people with issues. Go ahead and invite every dead person you know. Go ahead and have a big old meal and rip and roar for it. But if you want to go for God, there are some people you got to get outside your camp. You got to put them aside. So you know what I want to do? I want to get around some people who's going to challenge me. I don't want to get around dead people that all they do is do nothing. Because pretty soon that deadness, if you touch it, you become defiled. You touch a dead corpse, you become like that dead corpse. They don't go anywhere. They don't listen anywhere. Everybody that died, the Bible says the Egyptians were having funerals while the Israelites, those that were alive, were boldness with their staff in their hand. They were going for God. They were starting their journey while the dead was burying the dead. Those that were alive were going on for God. There comes a time in your life when you've got to decide, I'm going on for God. I'm not going to stay here any longer. That's because someone, listen, but I like to be around stable people. You know why? You know why they're stable? Because somebody poured concrete one day and they didn't move. And so their feet got stuck and they fossilized right there. Oh, they're stable as can be, but they're dead as doornails. We have mislabeled maturity for deadness for maturity. I'm just mature. I don't weep and cry like those immature ones. I'm mature. No, you're dead. Well, I would never act like that. That's because you're dead. I'm not making any case for zaniness. But I've seen more flesh by people sitting there going than somebody taking off and running around. Look at them. They're just in the flesh. Look at them dance and run around. I've seen more flesh when people just stand. It's more deadness when people just.
We're going to get a better amen in this Presbyterian church.
And so what you do is you learn that. So you come. Today is your day. God is calling you. He's writing out your goings. And that's pretty much it. So we're going to have communion now. And here's what we're going to do with communion day. I want every one of you to take out your keys. All right. I want everybody to take out your keys. Musicians, come on up if you would. I want everybody to take out your keys because today we're going to take communion with our keys in our hand. You know why? You know what you do when you're ready to leave the church? What does most of you do that's driving? What do? You look for your keys. Is that right? When somebody looks for their keys, what does that mean? They're ready to go. You hear somebody rattling their keys, you know that they're ready to go. Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to take communion with our keys in our hands. And what we're going to be doing, the first time this feast was celebrated, and Jesus linked the Lord's Supper to the Feast of Passover, they did it in haste. They did not do it. They did it in haste, ready to go. And so this morning I wanted to do that. I want to, even though it's really quite not the same, I want to do it with that. I want to celebrate this Passover, the lamb that was slain for us. I want to do it in remembrance of what he did for us. But do this. Jesus said when he came back on earth, he said now, his command to the church was a two-letter word was what? What was it? Go. Everybody say go. I looked it up in the Greek. And the Greek means go. And it means to go. And so this morning, it's time to go. Whether it's witnessing to the lost or helping the poor, or wherever it may be. And you got to get some people out of your camp. You got to get rid of the stuff that's held you down. But then you got to get some people out of you. You got to get the left. You got to get away from all your rowdy friends. Come on, somebody. You need to get away from all the groups that's dragging you down, that's infecting you. Because it will infect you. You will become like them. You will begin to doubt the word of God. You'll begin to doubt your conviction. All that stuff will affect you. You got to get rid of those with issues around you. You love them. You don't kill them. You don't ostracize them. You just get them out of your camp. And then you need to deal, those that are dead. If you want to go on for God, if you want to stay on fire, don't get around somebody that's ice cold. It'll snuff you out. You know what you ought to do? Get around somebody that's on fire for God. Get on somebody that's reading the word every day. Get around somebody that's loving God. Get around somebody that's sold out. If you are the most spiritual person you know, you're in trouble. Just because you're the head of the seven dwarfs doesn't make you king of the world. Come on, somebody. You need to get around somebody that challenges you. This past week, we got word on Christmas Day that one of our old friends, Dee Sublett, was murdered in Hawaii. I know a lot of you read all that. And Dee had gone over. Dee had been a wallpaper. He did all the wallpaper in my house and did some in the church and all here. And Dee had 12 children, I believe, right? 12 kids. 11. We were thinking 12, but he had 11. Liz was always pregnant. I mean, the first, 15 years I knew her, she was always pregnant. You just never knew Liz without being pregnant. In fact, they taught a class here one time called Sex is Spiritual Warfare. Come on, somebody. And they were experts. They were experts. They had 11 kids. They had 11 kids. Their own. They had 11 of their own kids. And Dee was a black and white guy. If you ever knew Dee, there was no gray area with Dee. He was black or it was white, and he let you know it. I told you this, the day he got married, see these doors right here? We were standing up in that foyer right there. And his grandma's, I'm sorry, it was in the front building. We had a step just like this, and we had a foyer like that. And he was sitting up there, and we had a pew right there. And I remember when we did the wedding, Liz had come up or was about to come up, and we were going to come out the door. And you know how you just politely open the door? He hit those doors so hard, it hit the side of it, and the two grandmas screamed on the front pew. He was ready to get married. He was ready to go. And he was black and white, and we don't know for sure, but he had confronted two of the home. He had gone over there, tried to get it. He'd become an RN, and he decided to move to Hawaii and have a change of life. And they couldn't get a job, so he ended up working at the Home Depot. And Liz had come back. She couldn't find work. And so just to save money, he went to the homeless shelter and sent all his money back home to help support everybody. And Christmas Day, it's a first come, first serve. He'd gone back there, and it was full, so he had to spend the night on the beach. And he had confronted two of the men in there. He's black and white. He stood there, and he had confronted them. And we believe, we don't know for sure yet, but he was attacked, it looks like, in his sleep, and hit in the head, and was murdered. So the police are still investigating, but that appears to be what had taken place. But he gave his life. But let me tell you something. If you knew Dee, you knew he would call it like it was. There's no playing around. He told you. I remember one time he was doing my wallpaper in my house, and I told him, he taught me a lesson I never forgot. I wanted to pay him. I knew he had, 11 kids. I thought he was 12, but he had so many of them. He lost count. I remember I told him, I said, Dee, let me go ahead and pay you for the job. He's about halfway through. And he stopped me. He said, I don't, no, no, I don't, you're not going to pay me. I said, why? He said, because it changes something in me when I've already been paid. I'm just being honest with you. If you pay me already, he said, it just changes something. I said, okay. I said, I wanted you to eat. And so I remember at 2 or 3 in the morning, he and I'd be over there. I helped him wallpaper the house, and we were wallpapering all this then. But he was, listen, I know that what happened to him, he was black and white, and he dealt and confronted some unbelievers there. He paid with his life. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He had a glorious, homecoming in the Lord. But we are in Chase. If you'd like to help him, we're trying to help pay the funeral expenses. It's just tragic. And so there's Chase Bank account. You can call Vicki Babin if you need some help. But at Chase Bank, you can call any of the Chase Banks, I guess, and they can help you, kind of give you the route for his name is William Sublett, or D. Sublett, William Sublett. Or call the office here, and we'll help you get where it's at if you'd like to give something to the funeral. But he's a great guy. But this morning, here's what we're going to do. That's a long way to get to where we're going to do. I want everybody with your keys in your hand. And when you take communion, no, Pastor, it'd be a lot easier to just put my keys in my hand. And, I normally take communion. That's not how they ate the Lord's Passover that first night. They said, well, I can put this staff. No, keep your staff in your hand. And when you eat, and you can see they're eating the Passover meal because they got their staff. You know why? Because they said, I'm going somewhere. I'm leaving. And this morning, here's what we're going to bring the lights down a little bit, would you? And you can go ahead and set one of the scenes, different scenes. I want you to put your keys in your hand, and here's what we're going to do. I want you to go, come up, and I want you to get a piece of the bread and a cup. And keep your keys in your hand the whole time, because I want you to know, we're going to eat the Lord's Passover in haste today. We're going to eat the Passover day knowing we're going somewhere. Say, all right, would you do that? Everybody stand up this morning. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We come to the Lord's Supper this morning. We do it, Lord, knowing we're going somewhere. This is the beginning of a new year. We're heading somewhere this morning. We're going somewhere. We're not going to stay. We're not just announcing it, and then in a month we're going to be in the same place. We're going somewhere. The door's going to slam in a minute. We're going to walk out of here. We're going to ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, bless this communion. You promised to be in it in a very real way. Lord, would you speak to our hearts, minister to us. Let it come alive today, more than just mere bread and wine. Let it be alive today. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Would you go get a piece of bread and a cup of wine this morning? Take it back to your seat and hold it just for a minute. We're going to all take it together. Go ahead and take it. Go ahead and do that. There's some in the back. There's some up at the table up here. There's some all around.
You are good. You are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love. You are love on display for all to see. You are love, you are light. When the darkness closes in, you are hope, you are hope. You have covered all my sin. Fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are light, and your death has lost its sting.
Father, we have our keys in our hand, because we're ready to go. We are ready to go. This morning we take the bread, and Lord, I know it's your body. And everything physically, Lord, that's tying us back and holding us back. Whether it's physical disease, whether it's a physical limitation. And we have given in to it, to where it has brought us to a standstill. And this morning, Lord, there's so much more that you can do. I want you to listen. I remember Charles Spurgeon had a wife. And even though he were a great preacher, she was bedridden most of their life. But she was the one of the greatest saints. She started a writing ministry and a book ministry. And from her bed, her sick bed, she began to minister to pastors and missionaries. And she started a writing society. And she began to write and write and write and get people in. And she did not allow a physical limitation to keep her from going. Because God had a new ministry for her. God had something new to do. And just because you may have a limitation in the physical, does not limit you, does not stop you. God's got so creative. He's so creative in what you can do and how you can do it. And they're just on and on and on. And so this morning, Lord, thank you for your body, because by your stripes we've been healed. By your stripes we have been released. By your stripes, oh, every time they beat you, Lord, that it was on your body. And this morning we take this bread and we remember it. And Lord, we say with all our heart that we're ready to go. We are ready to go. You, Lord, were willing to go to Calvary. You were willing to go the whole way. So this morning as we do it, Lord, we do it in haste. We do it with a mindset that this isn't just we're going to go all in our own way. We're going somewhere. Father, we ask you, touch this bread right now. Make it real. Let it produce healing in our bodies. Let it produce healing in our hearts. Let it produce the ability, Lord, to let go of some things and the limitations that we have placed on our own lives. Knock down every barrier. Knock down everything that says it can't happen. Knock down, Lord, everything that says why I can't go on. I can minister. I can finish strong. I can do great things for God. Doesn't matter. I can do it. This morning we bless the bread in Jesus' name. Won't you go ahead and take it and partake this morning? If you're a leper this morning, you can go dip in your own river 7 times and be cleansed. You can go to the master and say, if thou will, thou can make me whole. The blood of Jesus, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. And this morning, Lord, as we come with this cup in our hands, we do it with our keys and our other. And we tell you, Lord, that we're ready to go. We are ready to go. We're not going to be going for months and months. We're ready to go. In the morning, Lord, I'm going to go to work. In the morning, I'll be back at work. But in the natural, it seemed like I'm the same old, but something inside me is gone. I'm gone somewhere. I'm not the same place I was. I'm on the move. I've taken the first steps. I've already started my journey. I don't know where I'm going exactly, but I've started walking. I've got back in the Word of God. I've got back in loving Him. Got back up, getting up early, staying up late with Him. I got back in listening to His voice to know where to go, what to do. I'm leaving the wilderness. I'm leaving the confusion. I'm leaving the not knowing anything. I'm leaving all that stuff behind. I'm going on. If you got issues this morning, break through the crowd and touch Him. You've tried everything there is. You've been to psychiatrists. You've been to people. They've helped you to a certain extent. But you need to break through the crowd and touch Him. You need to touch Him. And then the issue will be dried up. The issue will be stopped. The issues that's bothered you for a lot of your life, it's pained you and caused you so much hurt and caused you so much tears. It'll, when you break through the crowd, and if you're dead this morning, if you come to a place where you said, I've gotten so cold, I'm dead. I hung around so many dead people, I'm dead. I didn't obey His voice and come out. I'm bound and I'm among dead people. Then listen, ask Him to speak again. Because the great thing about Jesus is He doesn't just speak once and that's it. He'll speak again. And if you hear His voice calling you out, even if you got to hop out, get on out, you got a better chance getting free among living people than you do among the dead people. Come on back to church. Come on back to small groups. Get involved. Begin to love them. Begin to be around them. And what you'll do is that which you couldn't stand, you'll begin to like. That which you really just couldn't, it grated on you. You didn't know why. It just made you mad at times. It made you uncomfortable or just boring to you within, because you're eating on the wrong stuff. You're around the wrong people. But you come back among the living. Why live among the dead? The living never lives among the dead. And this morning, I want you to get ready, because, Lord, with keys in our hand, we take the cup. And we say with all our heart, we're going. We're ready to go. We love you, Lord. Let the blood of Jesus come in. Let it cleanse and break and free. Let it be that which severs. Let it be that which protects. Let the blood of Jesus be that which sets me free within and without. We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, partake this morning. Now lay everything aside and let's worship. Let's sing that song again. Come on.
You are good. You are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love. You are love. On display for all to see. You are light. You are light. When the darkness closes in, you are hope. You are hope. You are covered all.
I want to sing that again. Some of you are holding back. Listen. I want to sing that again. Start from the start. Here's the one. Don't ever allow what's wrong with you to keep you from worshiping what's right with Him. Never allow what's wrong with you to keep you from worshiping what's right with Him. Your first step, that's going to be your first step this morning, is just getting past that and say, okay, I'm going to worship with all my heart right now. I'm taking a step. I know. But don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with Him. That's how you break free, reaching toward your future. All those things begin to break up. Come on, let's sing it again. Come on.
You are good. You are good. When there's nothing good in me. You are love, you are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin.
Oh yeah. Lord, we're going, we're not staying, we're going. Thank you for the cloud moving this year. Our eyes are fixed on you. Wherever you go, we will follow. Where you lead, we will go, Lord. We trust in you. You're worthy of all our praise. You're worthy of all our life. And we lay it all down afresh and new at the beginning of this great year. Lead us, oh God, and you, we will follow you. Everybody say a good amen, would you? Hey, give one more good clap offering. And we'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you. Hug somebody before you go down. Get around and give somebody a good hug this morning. Oh, yeah, I forgot one thing. Let me do one thing before you go. I brought my shofar with me, and every time they were getting ready to go, they could do that. And Kim Bork used to do this for us, and so now I'm stuck with doing this myself. Let me see if I can blow this thing. They always blew the shofar when they were breaking camp. Let's see if I can do this. I got a microphone right here. Hey, let me have a mic. Hey, Nick, put your mic right here. Let me do this thing. Turn it up. Am I up?
You're up.
I'm up. All right, you go. Go ahead. I forgot about my shofar.
What does it mean to be saved? Is it more than just a prayer to pray? More than just a way to heaven? What does it mean to be His? Form in His likeness, we know that we have a purpose to be so enlightened in the world, to be so enlightened.